Well, why don't you open your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. Keep them open. We have some passages there in the New Testament we want to look at this evening. Mark chapter 4, you're very familiar with the story. Jesus Christ is asleep in a boat that's rocking and roiling in the wind. Waves have crashed into it, fill the boat, and the disciples think they're going to die. Mark chapter 4. All right, Mark chapter 4. Verse 35, the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, that is his disciples, let us pass over unto the other side. What did he say? Let us pass over, where? Unto the other side. That's significant. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we, what's the next word? Perish. That means they thought they were going to die, right? And these guys had experience. Some of these guys were fishermen. Was it not uncommon to go across that water in a boat? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. You know, if wind comes across an area and churns up the water, it's going to be a while before the water settles. He calls off the wind and settles the water simultaneously. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind of the sea obey him? Well, in verse 40, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Tonight we're going to talk about this subject. What weakens faith? What weakens faith? Because, you know, that's what we live by, is faith. And there are things that will challenge the strength of our faith in our daily living, and one of those things is fear. Fear is the first thing that will weaken your faith. Fear is such a powerful emotion that it causes you to imagine that the thing you fear is really going to happen. Right? They're in a boat. The wind is turning up the waves. The waves are beating into the boat, and the waves are filling the boat with water. Carest thou not that we perish? They're afraid they're going to die, and what that emotion of fear does is causes you to believe or imagine that the very thing you're afraid of is the thing that's going to happen. You're going to die. And they did. They truly feared that they were going to perish, and they said they were going to perish. But what did Jesus say to them before they left that night? Let us pass over unto the middle and die. No, the other side. There are words of the Lord that they can believe. He spoke them. That one could have turned to the other and said, you know, this looks like a mess right here, but I'll tell you, he said we're going to the other side, and I believe that. But nobody said that. They woke him up and said, we're going to die. You know what? They were going to make it, and they did make it. Now, had they believed what he said, we're going to the other side. And had they considered that he was asleep in the boat, he wasn't worried about it. They wouldn't have believed what they felt. That's what fear is. Fear is a feeling that you then begin to believe more than you believe what Jesus said or what you should expect from him based on what you know in faith about his doings in your life. What does that show you? Fear weakens faith. Fear weakens faith. Their fear weakened their faith in what he said, we're going to the other side, and who he was. He had already done enough by this time. They should have had a good idea. This is no ordinary citizen. I mean, even Nicodemus said, look, the things you've been doing, the things you've been teaching, we recognize you're from God. Okay? They had spent more time with him than Nicodemus had, and they had seen remarkable things by this time. At the least, they should have been able to say, you know, this is an extraordinary godly man here. But they lost sight of who he was. And as a matter of fact, later they said, truly, this is the Son of God, when they'd gone through another storm. Now they begin to figure out who he really is. You know, if you ever lose faith in who he is and what he said because you're afraid, you're going to, fear is going to weaken your faith. Your faith is going to be distorted in the things that you should know or so. From God's dealings in your life and from the words of God are going to be distorted, and you're going to be shaken. And as a person who's had to deal with fear in my life, I'm guaranteeing you that is not a happy place to be. You do not know the joy of the Lord when your knees are knocking. But you do when you're calm. And fear is that way. I've told you this story, or some of you anyway, a long time ago. But it bears repeating now. When I was a child, my dad would go around and lock every door of the house, and he would check every window to make sure the windows were locked. So you're lying there in bed, you know, about to fall asleep, and all of a sudden dad comes in the room, right? And I shared the room with my younger brother, so his bed's over there, my bed's over here. We had the dressing tables and stuff between us. My window was here, his window was over there. So he'd come right beside the bed, open the blinds, check that lock, make sure it was locked, go check his. You know, that puts something in your head that there must be something really bad out there for him to be doing this every single night. Well, turns out, you know, kids were sneaking out of the house as well, so part of it was to make sure that the people in would stay in, you know, as much as the people out would stay out. But anyway, so one night I heard footsteps in the house, and as I listened, they got louder and louder until a hand got on the doorknob to our room and turned that knob. I heard every bit of that. And so when the knob turned, and Dad came in there, what's the matter, what's the matter? I said, there is somebody in this house. I heard footsteps and, he checked every window and every door. And guess what? Fear manifested a reality that was absolutely imagination. Well, we weren't dealing with faith then, but that's the power of fear. It puts in your mind, oh my God. And that's what it did to the disciples. Fear weakens faith. So if you find that your faith is shaken, check your fear. And if it's fear that's causing it, deal with fear. Because that's going to mess you up. All right, here's the next one. Turn to Matthew chapter. Actually, you're in Mark. Look at Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. And look at verse 22. So Jesus has cursed a fig tree and it's dried up from the roots. And in verse 21, Peter looks at that and says, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. Verse 22, Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and, what are the next three words? Shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, next word, believe. That's faith. Believe that you have received them, and you shall have them. That's faith in prayer. I mean, in your exercise of prayer. So the first thing that weakens faith is fear, and the second thing that weakens faith is doubt. Is doubt. That's why he said, okay, have faith in God, but when you pray, you're going to pray, but you got to believe. Don't doubt in your heart. That's what's going to affect the prayer that you're praying. You know, it's the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man that availeth much. Well, to be effectual, you've got to have faith. To doubt is to call into question the truth of or to be uncertain about something. That's doubt. To be uncertain about it, or to call into question the truth of a certain thing. So if you look up that word in your dictionary and then you check for antonyms, you know, the opposites, can you imagine what the opposite, the antonym for doubt is? Faith and belief. Belief and faith are this. Doubt is the antonym. It's the opposite. That's very interesting because when you look in the scripture and you see that God spoke to Adam and he said about a tree, don't eat that tree. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So when the devil shows up in Genesis chapter 3, the very first thing he does in verse 1 is he calls into question what God said. Yea, hath God said? He raised the doubt. All right? If she had believed what God said, that would have been the end of it. Yes, he did. And he said this, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So, go away. But she didn't do that. She began to doubt. Once that doubt was in there, then he could add a little to it. He could take a little from it. She lied about it, or he could lie about it. She add a little to it, blah, blah, blah. And the next thing you know, she's eating. So doubt is definitely something that's going to weaken your faith. When you believe God and you don't doubt, your faith is strong. I mean, God gives you something in here, and he looks at that, and you believe that, it's like, okay. Just a little quick story about that. That's not because my faith is so strong, but God's word is so timely when God wants you to have something to put your faith in. Thursday afternoon, we went to Houston to be with Ann's mother. It was a nice occasion. We hadn't been up there in over a year, needed to go. She had some son-in-law dues for me. So Friday, we're working on those. And, you know, what the report is, storm coming to Corpus Christi. And I told Ann, I said, I'm wondering if we should head back to Corpus Christi today. Well, she and her mom went off and did some shopping, and that gave me some time alone. So at that point, I'm confused. I'm uncertain what to do. You ever been there? I'm uncertain what to do. So I'm praying, and you know how you pray. You sense something from the Lord. He's trying to show you. And what I sensed was that he wanted me to pray for some things that I normally pray for that I hadn't prayed for yet. So I got my briefcase, got missionary cards out, prayer requests, stuff like that, started praying. Well, after a period of time praying for these things, that peace of God that passeth all understanding settled in there. You know what I'm talking about. And when that happened, all of a sudden now, my mind is very clear and not agitated by the uncertainty. So I just put that before the Lord. Lord, should we head back to Corpus Christi this evening? And this verse of Scripture came to mind. He that observeth the wind shall not sow. And he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. Don't make the decision based on what the wind and clouds are doing. I was talking to Bain earlier about that today. If farmers always did what they did based on what they see in the wind and the clouds, they'd never get the sowing done and they'd never get the reaping done. You got to make the decision in a different way. When the Lord gave me that, I'm like, okay, then I won't make the decision based on that. Let's just see, okay, what do you want to do? And there was this calm assurance, stay here. Well, you know, it turned out to be the right decision. But what had to do is, had to have something from the Scripture to believe, to remove the doubt. And once that happened, settled. Isn't that beautiful? So that's how God will do that in our lives. He'll give you something from the Scripture when you're settled, not when you're agitated, when you're settled. And it'll clarify for you. And then you can put your faith in that. And you go with what God gives you. And it works out. As soon as you begin to doubt, your faith will weaken. Why? Because doubt weakens faith. Fear weakens faith. Doubt weakens faith. Now I'm going to give you another one. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You say, how many are there? Just three for tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look with me in verse 7. For we walk, what's our subject tonight? It's faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. Fear weakens faith, doubt weakens faith, and you know what else weakens faith? Sight. Sight weakens faith. What you see will cause you, because when you walk by faith, you're not walking by sight, but what you see may cause you to change your mind about whether or not God's really involved in the thing that you thought he was leading you to do, because it doesn't look that way now. You can imagine Jehoshaphat when he's praying to God, asking God about the attack that's coming from three nations, the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the people from Mount Seir. And the Lord said, oh, you don't need to fight in this one. Just stand still and watch the salvation. And the Lord's like, yeah. And all of a sudden that army starts gathering. It's kind of like, are you sure? What you see can cause your faith to shake. Now on Sunday, this past weekend, we didn't cancel services, even though rain was still in the forecast from Hurricane Beryl. So I went back to the house after we had lunch and rested and prayed and did some other things. And at 4 o'clock, right around 4, I really sensed, again from the Lord, that I needed to make a hospital visit at Doctors Regional to go see John Mendelsky. So I get the vehicle, and it's all good and sunshiny there until I get to Crosstown Expressway. As soon as that little two-lane road that used to go by your house turns into, you know, the four divided, I mean, cats and dogs. And I'm in the middle of that thing, and gusty wind, rain coming across the vehicle, and all I see is rain in every direction. And I'm driving on Crosstown Expressway, and water's coming fast, and everybody's driving with their blinkers on, and all that kind of thing. And, you know, about halfway over there to the hospital, I'm thinking, you know, did I get this right? Are you really sure you want to be? I mean, it's been hard to get in that hospital with this going on, right, and be dry. I mean, I'm dressed for church. What I saw weakened my faith. Don't want to admit it, but that's the way it was. And it really instructed me. So I'm like, well, I'm going to keep going, you know, because I believe it's what the Lord wants to do. But it surely is hard to discern whether you think it's the right thing or not at that point, right? I get off at Baldwin, creep around, you know, the ways, and go down Alameda Construction and everything. No kidding. As soon as I turned into the parking lot at Doctors Regional, no more rain. I was like, sorry, Lord. Walked in there, had a great visit, very timely visit with him. Got back in the vehicle, drove up here. Some rain over there, clear over here. We're not disturbed in any service by rain or weather here. And I'm like, wow. You know, God is just really, really good. But it instructed me, and I thought I would pass it along to you. Sight will weaken your faith. What you see will cause you to believe that what you thought you understood God was going to do isn't going to happen that way. And you don't want to be there. You want to go with what you know God's showing you, not what your eyes can see. Now, to conclude this message, I want to take you to Matthew chapter 14, because Matthew chapter 14 has all three of these in two verses. And it'll be a great place for you and I to be reminded from time to time when we feel our faith is weakened, to review if it's one of these three things, and if it is, quit looking, quit doubting, quit fearing, okay? All right, this is Peter walking on the water. You know the passage. The Lord has said to Peter in verse 29, come. All right, and when Peter asked him about it in verse 28, he said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come where? Unto thee on the water. And the Lord said, come. It doesn't mean halfway. If he said, I'm going to take you to the other side, come unto me, okay, come. So he's got the word of God, right? Verse 29, he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on water to go to Jesus. To go, where? To go to Jesus, not halfway. But when he, what's the next word? Saw their sight. The wind boisterous. He was what? There's the fear. Afraid. and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou? There it is. Sight, fear, and doubt will knock you out when it comes to faith. It'll weaken your faith. You can't go by what you see. It's windy, right, it's boisterous. Quit looking at that. Look at Jesus. And remember what he said. He said, come. Right? I'm scared. Well, deal with the fear, but don't let it shake your faith. But when he doubted, I don't believe I'm going to make it. Phew. He didn't make it. And you don't when you go halfway on faith. You can't let those three things get you. So, remember, the next time one of these things creeps in, you can put aside the doubt, you can put aside the fear, you can put aside the sight, and keep trusting God and what he said, and you'll make it through. Amen. Father, thank you so much for some fabulous instruction, both practically in our daily experiences and scripturally so clearly stated in your words. Help us to be faithful stewards of what we've learned here so we can live by the things you've taught us today for Jesus' sake. Because it's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.